As part of the first phase, there were also some public hearings that were held by the two JMCs, the Joint Monitoring Committee on the Improvement of Quality of Life and Status of Women, the Equality Act and the Domestic Violence Act, through their public hearings. And then this committee conducted hearings on the work done by the Office on the Status of Disabled Persons and the Office on the Child in promoting people with disabilities and children's rights. And then the second phase, later in last year, in around September, looked at more narrowly at the Equality Act. So that was where the exclusive focus. And the two JMCs, as well as the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Constitutional Development, conducted hearings on the impact of the Equality Act on women and people with disabilities. The JMC on the improvement of the quality of life and sex of women also conducted oversight and services in Mpumalanga and Limpopo as part of this process. And then there were also public hearings with Chapter 9 institutions in October last year. So essentially where we are now is that in this year, the report containing the findings of this process needs to be tabled and debated, and the committee today is starting that process of engagement with the report. I just want to quickly summarize some of the conclusions that came out of the review process. And just start by saying that in terms of the Equality Act, equality is defined to include equality both in law, but also the achievement of equal outcomes. So the Act therefore committed to ensuring equal outcomes for disadvantaged groups, namely substantial equality, as opposed to requiring that privileges and disadvantaged groups be treated in the same manner in all circumstances. So the Act essentially seeks to prevent the perpetuation of systematic disadvantage. So where human rights and human dignity is undermined, and to ensure that all actions that adversely affect the equal environment of a person's rights and freedom are prohibited. Now, a number of decisions made during the review process last year showed that discrimination and equity still remain common in South African society. So notwithstanding the fact that this progress has been made, it's still a huge problem in our society. And while there are a number of benefits that can be associated with institutional mechanisms and with some practical initiatives that have been established, the review process showed that clearly these initiatives have not been enough in eliminating inequity in our society. And this problem, as worth mentioning, is particularly rife in rural areas where there's a lack of infrastructure and resources. Now, in terms of inequity on the basis of disability, the Equality Act provides that neither the state nor any person may unfairly discriminate against any person on grounds of disability. And this includes, it's not limited to, but includes denying or removing from any person who has a disability any facility that supports or helps them function in society. Secondly, any contravening of the code of practice or regulations of the South African Rural Standards that govern environmental accessibility. Thirdly, failing to eliminate obstacles that unfairly limit or restrict persons with disabilities from enjoying equal opportunities. And fourthly, failing to take steps to reasonably accommodate the needs of persons with disabilities. Now, it emerged from the review process that notwithstanding that there is the political will to eradicate inequality, that there isn't enough resources that are being allocated to related initiatives, and this is still a huge problem. Now, there were also arguments made that indicated that the mainstreaming of disability issues has not been successful, and we need to look at why this is so. So the issues affecting people with disabilities could be dealt with more effectively if each department had a dedicated section of women's disability issues. Now, I know, because I've worked with the JMC on women, that there all need to see gender consistency in each government department, and the committee a few years ago called all those focal points in to talk about what were the challenges that they were facing. And as part of that process, we found that even though in many government departments those focal points existed, they were not properly resourced. We had one staff person employed to deal with a range of issues that would be mandated to deal with disability, gender, and HIV/AIDS. And it really was a matter of setting them up for failure, because when you don't have resources, when you are scared very quickly, you're not likely to be able to achieve too much. Now, there's four key themes that we want to talk to this morning. I'm going to talk to you, and then you can talk to the other two. But access to employment for people with disabilities emerges as a very critical area. The equality review showed that there are a number of factors that continue to act as barriers to persons with disabilities in terms of them gaining employment. And as we know, in the State of the Nation address this year, the President spoke about the fight to eradicate poverty at the center of government priorities. Now, when we talk about eradicating poverty, that is linked to economic empowerment, to job creation. And when we look at one of the main challenges facing people with disabilities, is that they can't access employment. So what we're really saying is that in terms of poverty eradication, it's a particular challenge for persons with disabilities. So we look at the limitations that persons with disabilities have in terms of access to education. It becomes even more difficult for them to find employment. So the whole area of education and skills development emerges as a very critical area of concern. In terms of the Skills Development Act and the Skills Development Levies Act, there are a number of training programs that have been put in place to address the skills problems in South Africa. But the training programs are also meant to meet specific targets in terms of women and persons with disabilities. And what the review process showed is that these targets are simply not being met. And it's estimated, for example, that about 1% of the people trained through the Training of Unemployed Persons program, which is implemented in terms of the Skills Development Act, lives with disabilities. Now, this falls short of the equity target of 4%. This, by the way, is in terms of the public sector meeting its equity target with regards to skills with disabilities. It comes to a day and again that they're not meeting these targets, and it's an 80% concern. If we look at the fact that 1.74% of unemployed people trained through the National Skills Fund in the 2004-2005 period with persons with disabilities, whereas the target effect is 4%. So the takeoff was 4%, the number of people with disabilities trained was 1.74%. And that's a bit alarming in terms of how short that number falls off the actual target effect. In terms of learners of program, the equity target is again 4%, and in the 2004 period, this target was not met. Only 2% of people registered, people with disabilities registered, had access to learners of program. So an amount of 2% not needed to face specifically. So the target set was 4%, 2% went through learners of program, which means they went fall short. The Commission for Employment Equity has expressed its concern that there are not enough skills development interventions that have been implemented to accelerate the development of designated groups, especially for promotion to senior and top management positions. So, if we look at the submission documents that were considered as part of the review process, many spoke to the fact that government has not met the employment equity target to increase the number of people with disabilities by 2%. In addition, companies and institutions are required to implement employment equity plans which should contain company numerical goals and targets. But what we find is that employers do not always include persons with disabilities in their goals and plans of disability to the government. And this is something that we need to look at, how we take it up in the community. But most importantly, employment equity plans often fail to take into account the special needs of workers with disabilities, such as providing special technology to help visually impaired employees. And this suggests that the monitoring mechanisms that should ensure the implementation of the employment equity plans are not functioning properly. and this is again an area that needs to be addressed and looked into. One of the submissions indicated that the economic integration of an entrepreneurial development mission to disabilities often limited. So if we look at the whole program, government program around the development of small, medium and micro enterprises, when we look at eradicating poverty and reducing poverty by half in terms of the Millennium Development Goals, what we're saying is that the development of SMEs is critical to that goal. A large part of jobs will be created when we see SMEs. If the SME program is currently in place, it falls short in terms of adequately providing entrepreneurial skills to young people, but particularly young people with disabilities, those who think it's a factor in their country. So that is another area which was serious concern. Then the second content area that I just want to highlight before getting the second cover is the whole issue of access to information. And there were a number of submissions in last year that indicated that people with disabilities, particularly those with intellectual disabilities, are finding it very difficult to access information, especially information on HIV and AIDS. So for example, it was mentioned that people with intellectual disabilities can be infected with HIV while they are in the care of state institutions. Children and youth in particular are also faced with the risk of contracting HIV, drug abuse, and physical and emotional abuse because of the lack of access to information. I'm making one example of how lack of information is problematic because of disability, but on the whole, it's a very generic example, it's a very serious problem. There was also one submission that points out that people with hearing disabilities find it very difficult to access information relating to current news and events, because where we do have facilities like the sign language interpretation used by the FABC, they are actually of a very poor quality. So even where there are initiatives in place, the quality is sometimes inferior and not of an appropriate standard. Then just in general, there was something around the fact that persons with disabilities do not have equal access to information that enables them to gain access to social and economic services. It's really important when we think about government service delivery. Persons with disabilities are at a disadvantage because they don't have access to information. And then also the whole issue around public buildings that do not have wheelchair-friendly ramps. And that this hinders people with disabilities from gaining access to information. Now, with regard to, I touched on the HIV and AIDS information, but the submissions clearly pointed out that the Division of the Department of Health to intensify HIV and AIDS prevention campaigns, both to the community at large and to people with disabilities. It was also recommended that measures should be put in place to hold the public broadcaster accountable to ensure that it increases access to information for persons with disabilities. And then also, to increase access to information, the submissions recommended that the government must look at making the sign language the 12th official language of the Africa. I'm going to ask the minister to speak to the other two themes around public transport system and public buildings, and then there's a point to make that.
Hold on for a sec. I would like to have an honorary member before Ms. Joy Watson is leaving. Is there any questions that you would like to direct to her or make any comments or any questions for clarity before she has to leave and before clarity even the talk? I have a question for you, Ms. Watson. You spoke about the 4% of the 2% target that has not been met for the skill development is 1.4% only in the input, and then the equality is only 1%. Why, what has your research shown? Why is this target not being met? Is it lack of information? Is it lack of accessibility? What is the real reason why this target of 4% cannot be met. Is there any other honorable member that wish to ask a question? And then honorable Weber? This issue about transport will be dealt with Balinese. And I think she would send Balinese for help in her internet presentation. But what Watson just mentioned to us before she leaves, is there any comments on that presentation? Thank you. Thank you. Then Honourable Member Mon.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to, from the point of access to employment, many departments say that they do have employment, but then when they look for disabled persons, then there's a question mark as to how do they come about to hunt the disabled person, the way they exercise, whether they exercise in mainstream uses, where maybe not accessible to many disabled persons. But there are particular institutions where the disabled persons are running. Instead of going there and targeting them, or DCSA, disabled organization, they exercise generally, no selection, the general public. And my view is something extra needs to be done to focus more on where you would normally find people who are disabled or people who know about the disabled person, like the city organization.
Thank you, Honourable Member. And then Honourable Chamber.
Just looking at the skills development, we had just from the environment to the inclusion, so we can see that thing to us, which is. And there's a specific review that 2004, that almost as our exception, no disabled persons have been brought into the tourism industry and were not being trained. And we raised it as a big issue. And I think if they had realized that we were going to be very proactive about it. But it's amazing to see that one of the, you know, state bodies, bodies of the people, which has made so little effort to into an industry where disabled persons really play a really real and fulfilling role in the hospitality industry, with tour guides, and tour guides, certainly they could, as long as they could, the tour guide buses were appropriate and specific to accommodate them. And I do think that it would be kind of a real message with tourists that we are taking
waiting for Honourable Mark.
Yeah, chairperson, Commissioner Nelson. I think one particular concern is the fact that departments aim fail to meet the target. Now, if they fail us, what do you expect from the public, from the private sector outside? It would be interesting to go through all the departments to get from them as to which of them has met the target. What are the targets? What are the agreements?
Thank you, honourable member. I have one more question. You talked about the monitoring mechanism and not a sector. I just need clarity. Is the monitoring mechanism there already? And if there is no monitoring mechanism, then we need to establish that monitoring mechanism. If it is there, is there any ideas or do we need to go and look for recommendations? How that monitoring mechanism can be effective? My question would be this monitoring mechanism, if we have it there, and the people that are paying to it, are they really understanding people with disabilities needs? Do they consult people with disabilities? Do they consult disabled organizations? Just over to you to answer these questions.
Thank you,
Peter.
I'm going to integrate
my
response into the whenever a department produces an annual report, the ones that I look at, one of the things that I look for is to the department needs to tell us with regards to employing persons with disabilities. Now, I can't speak for all departments, but the ones that I look at, you find that the common theme is that they don't meet that target. Departments like Labour, because I provide research support to the Portfolio Commission on Labour, it's shocking that that department in itself has not met the target for employing people with disabilities. What I would like to suggest to the committee is that because as researchers, their research is allocated one to each committee, and so each of us is responsible for looking at the annual report and putting out an analysis of the annual report. If through the chairperson a request was made to our office to collate all the information for each department on whether that department needs its targets with regard to employing persons with disabilities, we could do an analysis and point out what is the percentage of departments that are compliant, and I'm sure that you'll find this really shockingly low. So that, in terms of collating that practical information, it's very easy to do. We could do it for you, but if you could just form a specific question to the office. And, in terms of what I think Honourable Member Moss was saying, I think that what is important is that this is not being effectively monitored. So while there's a great in terms of the fact that departments have to comply, what's happening now is that when departments come, for example, to speak to their annual report, sometimes you'll have committees asking the question around why they're not meeting the target with regards to certain persons with disabilities. Sometimes members don't even ask. But there isn't effective monitoring and oversight of that. And I think that is why many departments get away just not doing it, because there are no repercussions for them, nothing happens. And I think that this committee has a very critical role to play in overseeing that. If this committee had to begin to seriously follow up on that and be the force for exerting the pressure, we may well see that by the time departments present annual reports later in September, that there may be progress. So that, in terms of a way forward out of this research is this one concrete project that the committee could take up. Monitoring, first collecting the information through the research unit, and then monitoring and calling departments to account for why they're not meeting those targets. And I think that, where I've been in on meetings where departments have been asked to account why they don't meet the targets, sometimes they'll say things like, oh, they've tried, but we can't attract them to disabilities. And I think that's not good enough. But it's precisely the comment that was made around the fact that they're not advertising in ways that reach persons with disabilities. So they're advertising in ways that reach the general public, but not in creative enough ways. And they're not going to apply their minds and be creative. I mean, yesterday somebody in the church with a paper, and somebody was asking the questions that I'm winding up in the department. So that's something, that's a process that can be done to look at all departments in terms of looking at targets for employing persons with disabilities. And you know, just to close that one by saying, I personally find it shocking. We're talking about the public service. Is the public service something done? What hope is there for the private sector citizens to follow suit and to follow an example? Is there even no example being set within the public sector? We set targets, but we don't meet them. That's certainly nothing. And there's a course for serious intervention there. Then secondly, I also would recommend to the committee that the committee starts looking at, in terms of access to employment, that the committee needs to monitor the Department of Labour specifically. So when we look at, and just because I provide research support to Labour, I know that, for example, there's a big problem with regards to spending the National Skills Fund. So the department only spends 57% of the National Skills Fund. So when you look at skills development generally, serious problem. When you look at skills development with regards to persons with disabilities, it's even more problems. So I would also suggest a process around which the Department of Labor is called to speak to its learnership programs, the National Skills Fund, the skills development process in general, and why it doesn't do the equity targets with regards to persons with disabilities. So that if we start looking at what comes out of this issue and how to take things forward, it is only the key issue, then Labor must come in account and the committee needs to work with them in overseeing their work and in developing interventions that can address the problems with skills development. I think I'm going to end there.
There's another matter which is not openly available. It's also related with employment. When people got injured and they got injured at on duty, then they are automatically covered by the workers' compensation. Now, I know of particular incidents at the airport of the hospital where people who became disabled, they lie in hospitals for 9 months waiting for the devices like wheelchairs. They can't get out of hospital simply because of the Department of Labor.
Thank you for having me. I'd like to offer a job to the team today. But I would like to add on the question of employment of disabilities. So we have seen that the Department of Labor is assisting the disabilities in the short term, where most of the states are saying that health scheme, but they do not assist them or save them on your family monthly. So when are they going to do this? Because you're seeing that the highest increment statistics are those people who are on shelter for shock, whereas they do have kids to go to the ordinary market. And the other one is the just of the accessibility to the public transport system. Because we as individuals, we are not being involved in the shelter and care for this. We have seen that most of the disabled people are using the public transport. We have seen that the department has encouraged the sector owners to buy the certain type of vehicles or up to their standards. But the problem is that those wheelchair passengers, yeah, are not accessible to use those public transport. Therefore, we are having this problem because they used to say that, like for instance, in town, they have those buses, they can drive to come in those buses. But what about the people that are staying in rural areas? They do not have those transport and the different buses.
Thanks. Will address the whole issue on transport. Can you please hold that answer to that question after Berenice have done her presentation? I would like Berenice to really do her presentation in detail so that we can ask questions on these pertaining matters regarding accessibility to transport. I would like the JMC really what the Department of Transport should do, and then we need to follow it up with them. So we will hold that question for Bernice to answer, and then you just need to come to the conference.
Thank you, Stephen. I just want to touch on your point about the comments that were made. I think that it's, you know, the concern around the compensation fund and the way in which persons who are injured on duty are compensated. There are problems around that process. This, you know, there are experiences, there's a bureaucratic process that people are not compensated for privacy, or they're not compensated appropriately. And I think that particularly because as a result of the injury on duty, a number of persons then have disabilities as a result of being hurt at work. And again, it's something that's sort of committed to take up with the Department of Labor and to look at the challenges and the problems we experience with regards to adequacy and efficiency compensating people. Then, you know, this is the second thing around the shelter and service program. That one is such an important one. I also really remember that, I think at the beginning of this, it was written newspapers, the Prime Committee on Labour, interrogated the department on this whole shelter and service program. And so that's a very varying issue, it's a very hot issue, and I think that this committee has a very different role to play in that. And there are a number of people who say different things about the shelter and employment program. Some people say that it shouldn't exist, that, you know, that persons with disabilities should be maintained and integrated into workplaces in general, and they shouldn't have special programs. Other people disagree. Some people argue that the beneficiary people working in the shelter and employment sector are predominantly people who benefit under the previous system section, and so it's only benefiting a very specific target audience. Now, whether or not these things are true or not, this committee is then going to that program and to establish what are the challenges, what are the problems that the public has with the program. And then also, just because I know that program is in the process of major restructuring this year, I think that there's a very unique opportunity for this committee to oversee, to have a role in saying something about what's happening in the construction process. So clearly, from all the points that are coming out around job creation and employment compensation issues, the Department of Labor needs to come and the committee needs to pull out very specific questions that are engaged with them. And I'm very happy to offer to help to put those questions together. So we call the enemy, we are way upfront what are the areas that we want to engage with, and that those would include the shelter employment program, the skills development strategies, looking at how the National Skills Fund, how the learners should protect the benefits of with disabilities, and then looking at things like compensation funds. But I'm sure that there are other issues that we could put together and put together as a document with a set of questions that we could prepare before they come. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
But I just want to inform you, Joy, that the JNC maybe will ask you to assist us with some research to look at various equity targets in various departments. We will also appreciate your support in our various questions that can be asked, obviously linked to issues that we discussed here, like labor and compensation and so forth. Before we call departments of labor and the services of the child employment, we can obviously look at, there are coming from members who have gone through personal experiences with various departments. That too we can obviously look at and set up with the various departments. Members, those issues that is covered for the JNC and is discussed now, I mean, obviously we can put it be part of our program for the year and see whether we can fit them in the second, third, and fourth quarter of this year. Things that were said now, comments that were made now, obviously I think that this is really important, these recommendations that were made, and I think these recommendations obviously will be discussed in the House once the report is finalized. But I think the implementation part is really, really important. But members, the support is needed to us to discuss this matter in the House and obviously make sure the view of what is happening in the various departments. And obviously, this will be a part of our program for the year. Once again, thanks, Joy. We do release you now. However, before we do proceed, members, I think let's just take a 5-minute break, get our coffee and tea, then we can come back and sit down and concentrate on the next presentation. Thank you.
If you can understand it, I'd like to open your question. I'm not sure that
information so that we can understand how to process it. For example, if somebody stayed in hospital for 9 months and was injured at work, is it really the Department of Labor who is responsible to provide the transport or I mean, the assistive devices like the wheelchair, for example? Is it responsibility or is it an integrated approach working with the Department of Health, Department of Labor working together? You know, so what is the delay for allowing a patient to stay in hospital for 9 months before the assistive devices is supplied to them? So rehabilitation in hospital, they hospital window for rehabilitation. So therefore workers' compensation is it covered by private employment as well? Those types of things we need clarity on, and I think we need to do some research on that matter as well. That aside, now we need to see you to continue with the report and to cover those issues that were identified in this report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief, for spending time on the my topic, the areas that I will cover is of access to integrated public transport system and public buildings and inclusive quality education. And then I'll also look at some of the recommendations that came out of that report. The review process indicated that persons with disabilities struggle to make use of public transport systems, and members also alluded to that just now. And this clearly limits the ability to participate fully in society. Calls were made for a complete overhaul of the public transport system and to ensure that persons with disabilities have equal access to transport. It was emphasized that the disability sector must also fully participate in discussions around the transformation of the public transport system. Now, sometime last year, I think it was the second part of last year, I was one of the team of researchers that made a presentation to the chairperson, to JNC chairperson. And the chairperson might recall that one of the issues that came up, even when in terms of constructing housing for people with disabilities, that transport is a critical issue, that although you would have the house physically constructed, that at the same time they would not work on the road, and then people, for example, in wheelchairs would be excluded, they would be unable to move around freely, which would make them more vulnerable and therefore not be fully integrated. Although the idea is that with housing being made available, that they're fully integrated into society. And then the issue of transport came up even then, where people with disabilities were saying that because they don't look at roads at the same time, they are unable either to look for jobs, to access the public transport system. So they have these houses constructed for them. They are unable to maintain it because they can't find jobs, they can't travel, they have to sit at home and wait for somebody to transport them around. That is one of the key issues that came up. During this process, one of the key constraints or barriers, especially for children in the rural areas to access education, children with disabilities to access education, is the fact that they are unable to get to school, especially children who attend mainstream schools. For example, people would say that the taxes would pass them by because they take up too much space. They would have a problem getting to school and have to go back home and miss a day in school or try to arrange private transport, which is costly. And this is particularly the problem, as indicated earlier during Joyce's presentation, that children in rural areas are particularly affected in this way, and disadvantaged in this way. Some of the issues also raised around public buildings. That new buildings are still, although they're relatively new, recently constructed, they are still inaccessible to persons with disabilities. And an issue that came up was that when tenants are awarded for constructing or improving public buildings, that they can't be to not comply with the principles of employment equity as relating to employing persons with disabilities when tenants are awarded. And that process doesn't seem to be monitored adequately by government as well. And when assessments are done with regard to the disability of buildings, persons with disabilities are not consulted, with the result that after these buildings have been upgraded, the changes do not adequately improve their accessibility. And this view was put forward by the People's Assembly outpouring and submissions that were made to the JNC. Furthermore, submissions also called attention to the fact that most public and private buildings do not have ramps for people using wheelchairs. Moving on to inclusive and quality education. During the review, education was a serious issue. During the depth of study that was conducted by the research unit, some of the results were incorporated into this main report, a clearly indicated that a review of available statistics that were published by Statistics South Africa, analysis of that statistics, indicated that children with disabilities, particularly children with mental disabilities, were still extremely disadvantaged in terms of accessing education and quality education. Now, the white paper on inclusive education that provides for children to attend, for children with disabilities, where possible to attend mainstream schools, there are a number of problems with that. Where children, for example, would access mainstream schools, the teachers are not, either they don't have resources or the teachers are not adequately trained to work with children with disabilities. And then these children are often left to their own devices. They are sort of kept busy while the rest of the class would, progress to other more serious work. And particularly a problem around early childhood development. Early childhood development centers, the critical issue here is that they are often privately owned, and most of them do not make adequate provision for children with disabilities, particularly again in rural areas. Children with disabilities, particularly children with mental disabilities, are left at home because the argument is that it's too difficult that these facilities don't have the resources, they don't have the adequately trained staff to provide a service to children with disabilities and mental disabilities. and that consequently left behind in the community where the rest of the children attend early childhood development, they have to stay home because there are no services, adequate services available for them. And then obviously some of the key questions that were raised by our parents in one of the studies that the ESIP study reviewed that were undertaken was, how can we compel these privately owned ECD facilities to accept our children? There is no recourse. So that is certainly, I would recommend, one of the key areas that the committee needs to look at and also engage with the Department of Education, that there needs to be some way to ensure that, particularly in rural areas, that children with disabilities, particularly learning and mental disabilities, are not excluded from access to education. The Act, the Equality Act, Chapter 5 of the Act, talks around how government departments must adopt programs to address inequalities. And the Department of Education therefore has a special responsibility to address the needs of learners with disabilities in school. And I would also recommend that the committee then further looks at what are the provisions of Chapter 5 of the Equality Act, and when the committee engages with the Department of Education. I'll come back to some of the provisions of Chapter 5. Now, I've already mentioned that the new model of education, we talked around inclusive education, entails that learners with disabilities and special needs should be admitted to mainstream schools where possible. And this obviously implies a serious change in the education system for schools to accommodate such learners, and that the necessary support services be developed. And in terms of special schools, the intention is that these schools be transformed and able to provide support to mainstream schools that provide mainstream schools to integrate learners with special needs in these schools. However, submissions to Parliament suggest that the policy, inclusive education policy, is not being put in place. As I said earlier, educators are not adequately equipped. The schools and in addition, the school transport system does not provide to learners with physical disabilities, which limits their access to quality and mainstream education. It was also argued that came out of the hearings was that the needs of children with severe mental disabilities, that the department, it was a criticism against the Department of Education, that the department is not taking adequate responsibility for these children. And by not funding educational programs for them, in line with the right that every child has the right to have his learning potential developed. And also at the hearing, it was highlighted that hearing impaired learners often get encouraged in a certain stream, and that is the technical stream instead of academic, which obviously is underlined by assumptions about their intellectual capabilities, that they are sort of encouraged in a certain direction, the technical schools, the technical vocations, etc. And this poses a problem because hearing impaired learners should have the right to choose the education path themselves, provided that their needs are catered for by way of learning material and the training offered to educators. It's in view of the opinion that inclusive education was not being implemented as intended, participants suggested that the efficacy of the white paper on inclusive education be reviewed. Now, I'm not sure if this recommendation came out in the main recommendation, but there certainly was some call for some of the legislation, education, and especially inclusive education legislation policies to be reviewed to see how effective it is. In conclusion, the report highlights a number of challenges that faces people with disabilities, especially children. And while the Equality Act requires action both to prevent unfair discrimination, but also to promote substantive equality. And that relates to what the Honourable Member alluded to previously, was that what are the departments doing? The departments have a responsibility in terms of the Act. And I think Chapter 5 also talks around that departments have to come up with equality plans, Now, I am not too sure and how far they've gone with that, but that would certainly, I would recommend, that would certainly be something that the committee would have to follow up and in the interaction with some of the departments. How far they've gone with the equality plan. And the report will then also identify that in some areas legislation needs to be strengthened and reviewed. One of the issues that was highlighted by the report relates to how accessible the justice system is to people with disabilities. And obviously the issue of sign language came up. But I think one of the challenges they face is that people with mental disabilities face is around sexual violence. How credible witnesses, do they make in court? And how magistrates deal with the issue? Whether magistrates are adequately, especially when it comes to people with mental disabilities, how adequately magistrates are trained and how sensitive they are to issues like that. So that is one. And the report concludes that in some areas the justice system is actually very unfriendly towards people with disabilities, which discourages them to approach the justice system when their rights have been violated. Now, I already mentioned the fact that the Chapter 5 of the Equality Act it puts a duty on government departments to develop and implement equality plans, and for the Minister of Justice and the Constitutional Development to pass regulations requiring similar equality plans from the private sector. So in this instance, the Act also provides for some way to keep the private sector accountable, that they also have to, but one of the issues that came out of the report is that there are still some problems with regard to these regulations, whether they've been issued, whether they've been published. And unless these regulations are actually available, whether they've actually been published and finalized, the question is, how do you keep the private sector accountable in terms of providing these equality plans? The report highlights the fact that the regulations on Equality Act have not been passed, and it also means therefore that departments have not been compelled to comply with requirements set out in Chapter 5. So it seems that even when it comes to government departments, as well as the private sector, that it's essential that the Chapter 5 regulations be finalized, that they be published, so that the committee has some mechanism, some way to keep them accountable. Now, in terms of equality, of course, while the utilization of mechanisms such as the equality court has been limited, the case is already brought before the court and the remedies available to complainants suggest that if the court is fully functional and if the barriers to accessing justice are removed, it could be a crucial tool with which to express ordinary South Africans to right to equality. However, the existence of designated equality courts is not necessarily a measure of the effective functioning. It is critical that there is first the public awareness of the court existence, and it's also important that ordinary citizens have access to the court through the appropriate legal system. Now, one of the previous presentations made to the chairperson was around how accessible are the equality courts, because ordinary people, South Africans, do not seem to be aware of the existence, in some instances, the existence of the quality court, and that was a challenge. And how you enter the court, and even some of the studies that were conducted by private companies, organizations, or NGOs in South Africa, indicated that even in some instances, even the court officials wouldn't know of the existence of an equality court in that building. So obviously, in awareness raising and publicizing the existence of the court, there's a lot of work that needs to be done around that. In conclusion, I'd like to add that the Equality Act provides for the development of plans and programs that will promote equality through all government departments and public institutions. It also provides for similar measures to be applied to private institutions, Once again, these would be powerful mechanisms to reach to advance a sense of equality. It is crucial, therefore, that that the entire Act be implemented and that Parliament ensures that it is enforced regularly on the implementation of the provisions contained in Chapter 5. Finally, the South African Human Rights Commission and also the Gender Equality must play their role as watchdog bodies over the realization of the right to equality. In addition, these constitutional institutions can raise public awareness on progress made by both the private and the public sector with regard to practical plans to achieving greater equality in South Africa. The rest of the report uses some concrete recommendations that came out of the review process. And I'm not sure if the Chairperson wants me to proceed with those. The first few recommendations deal with education and quality education. The first recommendation calls for the equality plan to the department, so the committee to interrogate department's equality plans as envisaged in Section 25 of the Equality Act. It also talks around committees responsible for education issues to engage with the Department of Education on the implementation of the policy on inclusive education. Special focus should be given to the needs of learners with disabilities and ensuring that materials are made available to learners. Also the issue around funding of educational programs for children with severe intellectual disabilities. That the committees of Parliament engage with the Department of Transport on the implementation of an integrated public transport system with attention given to the needs of people with disabilities. The need to prioritize the needs of persons with disabilities in economic empowerment strategies and programs in government. That the disability sector be consulted when improvements on the accessibility of public buildings are planned and executed, and that the tenders from the disability sector be given preference in awarding such tenders for such work. And finally, the issue raised by Joy in terms of the public broadcaster, Parliament should hold the public broadcaster accountable for ensuring that it increases access to information for persons with disabilities, amongst other by improving sign language interpretation during television news broadcasts. I think one of the issues that came out of the report was that the quality of the sign language service providers wasn't up to scratch. Thank you.
Thank you. Just before I'm going to allow members to ask you more questions, somewhere I can't really see, I saw Jerry, this script is really very small in this little booklet. Somewhere in this act there needs to be an equity commission, because we have the review committee on the constitution, and then the committee to monitor that the equality laws have been implemented. Can you just briefly take something on that, and do we have an equality campaign committee? Has that been established, or and if it is established, who is on that?
Yes, Chairperson, that committee has been established. I think they just ended last year, their term of office, and they were in the process then of electing, I think, new members. The Chairperson of the Human Rights Commission was chairing that committee. Secretariat and support is provided by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. I think in the previous, one of the previous reports, it probably comes up more in the justice section of the justice report. There were also some shortcomings that were highlighted looking at some of how that committee operates and some of the challenges that they experience. But amongst other, I think with most of the institutions, is that when you don't have full-time staff and you have to rely on government personnel to provide adequate support, especially secretariat support, it obviously poses a challenge, and I think Joy also alluded to it when she made during her presentation, is that how do you balance work and what gets priority? They also looked at some of the reports that the committee had in terms of the Act, some of the work that the committee had to perform during the term of office, and then some challenges. I think in November, followed that up, and at that stage the committee was only in the process of finalizing their report. I think it was a 4 or 5 year term, and during that time seems that those reports were not finalized, so it does seem to appear that they also you know, operating under some capacity constraints.
Do you remember when you done your research? Does that cover any disability issues during your term when you've done your research?
I have to say I'm really sorry. I think I looked at the reports. I can come go back now. I've had a list of all the reports they drafted. I think there were 4 or 5, and I cannot recall whether anything was disability specific. I'll have to go back to my documentation and have a look in our leadership office notes soon after the meeting has ended out. Before your office chair.
Honourable members, can you advise me if you want to see those reports or the last report, let me know, and then I will ask them in the research unit to make copies then for us. Before I'm going to allow honourable members to make comments and questions to Valerie, we just need clarity on the disability sector. Are still concerned because people are not using the right terminology. Hearing impaired is not acceptable. It's okay to say deaf because I'm not impaired. Is that nothing wrong with me? I'm deaf. If you say hearing impaired is more from a medical perspective and a welfare perspective, and it's very patronizing. So, because we are following the social model that we say we deaf, it's okay for us to say deaf, and we are people with disabilities, we are crippled, and so forth. So I think just to let you know, and for the correct terminology in the report, is there any other matters that the members wish to clarify, comments, or questions that need to be posted? Any? Bernice?
My apologies, Jefferson. In fact, I indicated to Joy, this report was written by another researcher, and unfortunately, somebody has not worked with this committee before. They are not too familiar with the term. I indicated to Joy, in fact, before this meeting started, that I have to go through this report because there are some instances with terms like disabled children are used that, you know, we have to correct. So I would just recommend them to our manager that we actually go through the report. I will personally do that with a fine tooth comb so we can actually look at those terms. But I do apologize. I am aware that, you know, that is not acceptable.
Thank you. Honourable Member, Honourable Weber, and other members of the Honourable Weber.
Thank you.
Calmly.
Okay, I'm just looking at this different booklet that we've got. The writing is so small that I actually think we need a magnifying glass. I don't know if they're trying to save paper or what, but we can see the sort of darkness to be made and molding. But just to say that this, I think this has been really useful meeting. And I must congratulate the researchers on the work that they have done. I do think that when I look at the recommendations, it will be useful if they can, and it has been mentioned, to partner in together and have a good hard look at the different departments and come up with some statistics on how effectively they have implemented the Equality Act and whether they are taking it seriously, particularly the Department of Labor. I also consider when I look at those bulleted recommendations that our committee needs to sit down and talk about this make a priority with what we think should be acted on very high on which after the speaker public service that I would be taking on taking further the issue. The children with severe intellectual disabilities and
other honourable members who wish to comment, honourable Mark.
Thank you, sir. That chemical actually, that's a simple there was a time when it took certain persons both at a performance for some experience to be disabled transit. I know in particular local councils when they're forced to be the first friend to support the look at them. I think about the design of the maybe you can just check on the because to me the person it's unacceptable that we can build modern buildings to put it to people to that could be so possible. And it is so it's not the regulation that I think that the student technique is quicker against those only for both buildings. And to that I think also jobs and solution as a result of making those buildings better. I've had a couple of groups, disabled groups, that do all kinds of crafts, all kinds of things. The problem is some of them have the buildings they are working with, the hybrids belong to your council, maybe in the hall, which is used for other things also. But then the department goes not so busy, empty busy. This is the department of public work. And these buildings need to be made available for visitors and because they work. It assists with some the phone of the attention they are getting. So they are getting some extra money from that. Because these small buildings, some of the material gets lost. All those kinds of things. So maybe one should look at how the department can make those empty buildings available for the disabled girls to be able to work, do these kinds of work. Sure. I'm always of the opinion that a disabled person is just go from either body, but so there must be pressure for the disabled person. If you look at the housing backlog, the waiting list, I can't see why it's not treated equally and it has to be all of this like any other person. I think there should be preference for the disabled person and if they are on the waiting list, they should be brought, you know, to the front and to the more attentive to be given to them, or they should have probably preferred attention to be given to them when they are on this waiting list. Because I know of disabled person to be looking to check for years. When it comes to this waiting list, it's even difficult for them to get access to get to the counter to get the name put on the many instruments that they have and for them to check the names off. So I say that there should be that problem. It's a special place for the disabled person to come to. In my constituency, I came across a special school for disabled persons. But this is necessarily a hospital that people can stay. Now, this disabled person could not fit into the mainstream school. But he also had a problem to get to the school, which was 8 kilometers from home. We managed to resolve the problem, but we had to push in a lot to resolve the problem. I'm saying, other than access to the school, the transport for the disabled person, this is a rural area, I think, it's a serious problem, and then we should be addressed. Where the kids can stay at home, but attending a special school, but because transport to get to the school is a problem. That's without the message. That's it. Don't go to school. I think that's possible. School is
Arnold Fundini.
As the department has promoted the inclusive education for today, there is a problem. Most of the mainstream schools are not accessible for the education when it comes to the building of schools. And the overcrowding of those schools and telling the teachers to concentrate more on education. And also there is no training for those teachers to pay attention to children with disabilities. That is why we find out that most of the children are not as fully integrated in those mainstream schools. And there also the need of special schools in rural areas, because we have found that most of the children are staying at home because of the age restriction in the special schools in urban areas. We find out that those children are unable to go to those schools, so that means they will be end up without education. And the other thing is of no facilities for intellectual disabled children in rural areas. We find out that those children with cross disabilities, they don't even get the education because they do not have any facilities like the crèche, because it is too close to the daycare center when it comes to disabled children, because they are going to be there on this education, being trained with their mothers or their parents to keep more concentration on those children. So if there are no daycare centers, those children stay at home without education or without any education. So otherwise, some of the children, because the teachers, they use some to divide the children into groups, saying that those children who are not mentally disabled, they must go to mainstream schools, whereas there are no facilities available like transport, the changing of the people, the accessibility of the buildings in schools, and the changing of the attitude in those teachers at school. Yes, I'm having the disabled children to go to those mainstream schools.
Thank you. I would like to sum up what the members already said. Comrade Mott, you talked about the building, the new building. I would like the research unit to assist us to obtain information when a company tenders. We know government, it's in the IDN that needs to say their building needs to be accessible. But when a company, there's a building that needs to be built and a company tenders for that building to be built, is there a law that can comply that company that it must make sure that that new building is accessible? Or is it not necessary? Can they just build it and then after they build it and they say, oops, this building is not accessible, and then this whole fight is starting with them to get this? Are there any municipality laws or hospital laws that say that those buildings need to be accessible? If you can get us some information on that, are they compelled to meet and to consult with the disability sector to get those buildings accessible? Are they can also send them just to
me? For example, when they want to start the housing list, I know, for example, they go right to the bottom of that list. Application forms are looked at and say, well, you know, you can come back sometime later again. Many of our guests, people cannot leave, so when they do get a letter to say that application has gone through, they can't understand the letter, there's no interpreter to assist with them. When they go to the council, and there's lots of problems that they find. Later on, they go back to the council, ask, where is my name on the council? Just once again, they find that the name is back at the bottom, so they just respond to a letter that they couldn't read or understand. So I think that if some people provision made, or questions given to people with disabilities when it comes to housing, and I think that is to be discussed with the housing department. Then transport is a big headache. Local government, the integrated community committee. For example, when we had public hearings, we had a gentleman who didn't brief us, but he assisted one of the people with disabilities who came here to give us a briefing on the equality campaign. He was taking that the person from the Northern Southern State in the Western Cape. He needed medication and he had to receive this medication on a monthly basis. So in Wynberg Military Hospital here in the Western Cape. And we who know the Western Cape, we know the Northern Southern is on that side of the world and Wynberg is on that side of the world. So, you know, and transport is not accessible, public transport is not accessible. But let me give you an example of, I'm not sure how you come, but let me give you an example. If one lives in Acacia Park and there's a station there, and a train station is not accessible, he then needs to look for other public transport that is near the station that is accessible for him. He then has to take that public transport, whether it's a train, then go to Cape Town. He then has an assistant there that will know that fine, he's coming a certain time, I will then assist this person onto the train in Cape Town. Then, take the Southern Suburb line, he doesn't get off at Wynberg, because on the side that he has to get off, he has to go under the subway to go to the side that he wants to go to, and that is not accessible for him at all. Then he goes past Wynberg station and he goes to Lakeside station and he gets off there. It's pretty far from Wynberg, so there he has to get someone to help him get off the station there, and then got under the subway, and then you jump back to Wynberg, because on that side of Wynberg, you can then, it's easy for me to get there, and then you have to take a taxi to Military Hospital. So those are some things that you're looking at. You know, so we are also a medical person, but also take to get your status for your medication and the transfer to hospital much nearer to your home. Because I'm under the impression that the Mercer Hospital there, and you say, no, I cannot, because this hospital in the southern suburbs and the hospital in the northern suburbs doesn't want to work together, so therefore I have to take this long journey to go and take my medication. So, you know, integration to various, stakeholders work together to make sure that, you know, for example, a man's simple like medication that you need to get, there's no integration of the stakeholders working together. So it's just easy for him to get his medication in that area that he lives in. And this is just an example of some of the headaches that we as disabled people have to go through. Then regarding schools, it's not just in the mainstream schools. Where there's no access, there's no transport, the teacher doesn't know how to teach children with special disabilities, special needs, and so forth. In deaf schools, let me give you an example again, teachers cannot sign. So they will hire a deaf person to be a teacher's assistant. A teacher's assistants don't have matric, they don't have any teacher qualifications, therefore the Department of Education refuses to pay for them. Unless they have some form of qualification, which well we know they cannot get because they don't have access to university once more. But they are doing most of the work because the teachers who are not deaf can't communicate with the deaf children. The class lesson is given to the deaf teacher's assistant and they use teacher. Obviously she's teaching in sign language so children can understand. But she's not paid the same as the hearing teacher. And that's a question I've been fighting with and I'm getting no answer. So once again, the school governing body needs to fundraise that money to pay for that teacher's assistant. Many schools don't support sign language, so it's a struggle for them to look for money to pay for a teacher's assistant. So the deaf teachers who are able to sign, they are the first to go when there is no funds available for paying them. So schools for special education obviously need to fundraise for those needs, okay, to pay salaries for those assistants. Really the deaf assistant who is providing that education to their deaf child, because teachers are refusing to sign in our deaf schools. So many problems like that are affecting us, and the department obviously has to be aware and is aware of those problems. Maybe on more members, not now, we don't have the time, but maybe in future we can discuss, for example, when we read the paper, the article, that they want all schools to go back to the national responsibility article and not be the responsibility of the provincial provinces. Whether that's a good idea or not, I'm not, but I obviously need to be debated, because we find the department is not motivated or really wanting to work with schools, with official schools. So they feel that many of the schools official education must go back to the under the national department and not in the, be under the provincial department. So that's an issue we can debate later. Okay. So, Honourable Moss.
On public transport, there are many modes of transport. We all know what happens when those disabled people came from Malawi, where some of them had to be accredited from the plane because of food or food and disabled persons. But if you look at public transport in Cape Town, the train system of Cape Town is regarded as the best in the country. The same. Because I would 100% public transport, which is subsidized by the government, has been purchased for the purpose. If we look at the taxes, we are in the middle of the tax and capitalization process this month. The minister once said that every 10th taxi will be accessible to the disabled person. Now, ethnic integration, I can't wait for every 20th taxi to get into a bus. I mean, for me to get into a bus, I mean, that's the point. And if we don't make use of the opportunity now for this technique of capitalization to be extended for the favorite person, it will take us another 20 years to because the opportunity exists now. And I think that is also one challenge where we seriously need to make anyone serious intervention. Notice it is very committed to provincial ministers not for training to discuss those kinds of methods. But really transport for the main election, leave alone the ministry. There is a system currently operating in Cape Town, it's called Island Ride. Those buses are able to send you. Problem with those buses, they come late, they're very unreliable, they break from the way, and now there's one travel to the UK, make an appointment with it for 2 weeks in advance, and it came to the day when they were supposed to transport the disabled person, the bus company, but those are the kind of problems that we have as a disabled person when it comes to public transport.
We have talked about these things and we find out that even the ministers, they don't even talk about these things when it comes to the media, talking about the involvement of disabled people in those cases, their care or the inclusive education. Therefore, I think the committee must call upon those ministers so that we can talk about these things to them, because we have this research document in front of us, so as to talk to them about these issues, because for us it doesn't mean that we must talk about these things, whereas those people who are also have to lead those implementation, they are not here to submit us. Thank you.
Chairperson, I raised my hand because I wanted to make a recommendation. Do you want me to? I'm not sure you wanted me to respond or if you comment, or can I raise my issue? I think the Honourable Member, I just want to go to the issue of education first. Sorry, to the issue of housing. Housing is critical, and it is not dealt with adequately in the final report. And I'm Chairperson, I would like to recommend, because the Member also indicated that it's a critical issue, that we go to some of the previous reports and take up some of the issues highlighting critical problems around housing and include it, and some of those recommendations being included in this report before the committee adopts that. The other issue that I would like to raise with the committee is, it is a big problem if departments themselves don't report. Now, when one of the first reports was on issues around disability, that is a big problem. We've looked at some of the annual reports before, and it's just a problem. They do not report. If you have a department, like the Department of Health, for example, I know because that's the department that I support, the portfolio committee, they report extensively on disability in their annual report. And if you analyze the statistics and trends, one of the things I picked up was, I tried to look at, in terms of performance and promotion and remuneration, how well are people with disabilities doing with the rest of the staff complement. I, for example, noticed that percentage-wise, in terms of accessing performance bonuses, theirs were lower than the rest of the staff. Now, why is that? And so I would like to add, Joy made the recommendation that we look at the annual report and see through the report, but it's not enough to actually look at where they report. We have to interrogate those statistics critically. And where there is a discrepancy, if you have, say, you have 50% of clerical staff receiving, this is just an example, a performance bonus that year, and you have 10% of the people with disabilities receiving a performance bonus, what does that say? How disability friendly is that working environment really? So it's not enough to look at the numbers. You have to look critically at those reports. And I would also like to offer my assistance in this regard. With Joy, will work with the chairperson and, you know, to come up with some indicators and some critical questions to ask when we look at those annual reports to all the sectors. The other issue around housing is, when one engages with a department, like what I've done, the problem with one of the first reports when we did a desk of studies and we said that if there is not information about people with disabilities, there's still a problem with research. There's still not enough research being done, especially by government departments. When it comes to people with mental disabilities, it's even worse. There's not enough information. Now, the Department of Health has said, for example, that mental health has been the stepchild of health, and they need to focus on it. But when you look at some of the core focus areas, some of the work being done, it's still not a priority. If you look at the annual report, there was supposed to be special hospitals for children and adolescents. Those, and they were indicators and targets. Those were not constructed in terms they did not reach their target. It's just not a priority. And unless this committee starts pushing the issue of all departments, it will not be a priority. Around housing, I personally engaged with the Department of Housing because there was just not enough information on housing and how people. There's a lot of information on housing, but in terms of how people with disabilities access housing, there is a major lack of research and information available. The best we could rely on was newspaper articles. Even your private organizations were not looking at it. I once asked somebody who made a presentation, a seminar, an academic on housing and the environment, and I asked her those questions, and she said, you know what, it's very interesting, I've never actually asked that question, maybe we should look at it. So even in terms of your research organization, your academic institution, there seems to be a big gap in terms of the research that they provide. Now, the Department of Housing has in the past done some research. I asked them, have you done any research specifically relating to people with disabilities? No. Can you recall? No. They don't even record that kind of information. They couldn't even refer me to somebody else who might have done information. It's just not a priority. In their annual report, they do give statistics on the number of people with disabilities that access housing. But then I ask them, but okay, these are the figures. What were your targets? Oh, we don't know. Now, if you don't have targets on how many people with disabilities, and it raises the issue that the Honourable Member raises now, relates to that issue, if departments don't prioritize, it's a problem. Is it
as you come along, you're getting comfort, or do they actually have targets? Because they couldn't tell me whether they have targets. This year, so many people with disabilities or excess housing, and it got people with hearing disabilities or deaf people with mental disabilities. We don't know. And I'm not sure whether they collect those kinds of information or whether they even request those kinds of indicators. But I would recommend that when the department engages with the Department of Housing, with housing, for example, raise the question of why don't you do research on people with disabilities and how the excess housing, how accessible that housing is to them. Why don't you report inequity? Why is it only rough figures you're giving us in your annual report? We want more qualitative information, because I think that's one of the next steps. Getting departments to report, but getting them to report on qualitative stats and figures so that this committee can really start monitoring progress.
Any other honourable members really want to ask some more questions or my comments? There's one addition I would like to make. Remember at the first meeting that we had, when we had this campaign with Justice, Human Rights, and the courts, when they reported on this equality campaign, they admitted that the access to information about the equality court, about and people with their rights, towards their rights, we need to do something, they need to exercise more, or need to get information out to the really, to the ground, and to the people who are in the rural areas, especially the Chapter 9 institution needs to pull some weight. We have a deaf couple that I've been with before, and this is a question to the welfare organization. They want to adopt a baby, the deaf couple. They approach the welfare organization. They pay for their services to assist them in looking for a baby. Four or five babies have passed for them to have an opportunity to get a baby. They ask if she SMS to the social worker, and no response or no reply. And the deaf lady herself decided to go to the social worker. It's a pity that specific social worker resigned. And then asked, what happened to my son? And then the woman herself admitted, said, yes, four or five babies have come through us, and there was an opportunity for you. But she asked for a closed adoption. There's not an open adoption procedure. So if she asked for a closed adoption procedure, so you don't need them. The parents are going to give up their baby. They don't need to get that information. So the social worker informs the mother, the birth mother, that you have a deaf couple that wants to adopt your baby, and then the birth mother says no. And then the second visit from this deaf person, she brought her niece because she had an interpreter. And then the niece, parents are both deaf. And then the aunt asked her, please tell her your experience that your mother and father is deaf, that you have access to school, and there's nothing wrong with you. And then the social worker was stunned that the deaf couple was able to raise a hearing child. And then they were not doing any effort to find out, is it possible, what is the possibility of deaf people getting a baby adopted. But she's not really deaf, she's not completely, but her husband is deaf. And she can talk a little bit, she just brought her niece in case she did not understand the social worker. So she voiced, and then the social worker was stunned. Why didn't you tell me the first place you can talk? And then the mother said that I did tell you that I can talk, and I said to you that the husband can't talk. And I did inform you that we would be able to use South African Sign Language to our child, and we'll be able to use our voice to our child. They really want to adopt. But it's not only the social workers or the welfare organizations, but the public that are not aware of disability issues. So their rights have not been adhered to. And then this deaf couple have, and my husband are deaf, and we have two hearing children. and there are only 5% of our population, of the deaf community, that are coming from deaf families. And 80% from the 95% are coming from hearing parents. So what's the difference? We don't expect to have deaf children. We said we will cope with that dream if it happens to us. But with all the challenging social workers, do not think that we have the right as deaf people to also to adopt children. And really, we need to go and educate the professional people and also the public on disability issues. I would really want to thank Parliament for really initiating this campaign. I think it started a year or two ago when we started this campaign, and finally we've got the report. But the public hearings have been really good, and the submissions that were submitted were really good. So it is really important that the public becomes aware of this equality campaign. And I'm going to say this again. These recommendations, to see that this has been implemented, the members, you can say more than it's just in these recommendations. What the members said regarding the housing, that you said the original research showed that there was some research done on housing. Please add this to this report. And there's nothing about transport, am I wrong? It's really not really in-depth issues regarding transport. Please add this to these recommendations and emphasize this, the access to transport. In these recommendations. Education is mentioned, so that's fine. And then on the transport, if you talk about transport, please add what we said about the taxi recapitalization program. And it's really, not 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 20. Every taxi needs to be able to accommodate people with disabilities. And whatever I've left out, please, whatever's been mentioned in this meeting, please add this to these recommendations and to this report. And this will then go to Honourable Member Buerta, and then we will then further discuss it at that specific meeting. Then you can assist me when we do a report back to that meeting. And then I would strongly recommend that you do debate this in the House. I hope, Honourable Members, you do support me, that we debate this matter and this report in the House. Not at the end of the year or next year, during this year, that we need to debate this in the House. Do I have your support? Honourable Member.
Thank you,
Other honourable members, a last comment from you before I close this meeting. Lovely. I would like to say again and repeat what honourable members said. Thank you for the research unit for doing an excellent job. It was really a long process. It's really coming from the People's Parliament in Oakwood, and please other researchers, Carmen and Joy, and to convey our thanks to them, and then we will then add this. This is the product of our public hearings, and this is a really good report. That is the result of our public hearings and this campaign. So my committee staff will work with the research unit to make sure that everything is being recorded, and then this will be presented to Ms. Worker. Thank you for being at this meeting, and this meeting is now officially closed. Thank you. Members, we have lunch at 12:30. I know it's a bit late, but you're welcome to wait for the lunch that's going to be provided today.
How are you?
heard now. It was part of the public hearing. No.
So that's the part of
and do you think that they will be affected if it might follow through this committee?
I'm not sure if it's done. I'm not sure if it's done.